Welcome back to the Profitable Audience Podcast, where we teach you how to grow and monetize your online business. Now, today we are going to talk about the power of masterminds. So in case you guys don't know what that term is, Tony, what's a mastermind?
A mastermind is a group of people who meet regularly, and I think we'll go into more detail in a minute, but mm-hmm. they meet regularly to help you, I think, grow your business, hold you accountable, and yeah, I think that's the main thing is it's a group of the same people that meet with you on a regular basis.
I've been in this one mastermind now for, I want to say 4 years or 5 years almost.
The personal finance one?
No. Well, no, that one, that one's been pretty long too. I was thinking about the e-commerce one that I've been in.
Yeah. When did you start that one?
That one was right after the first e-commerce fuel that I went to, which was, I believe, 2014, 2015. Yeah. What about you?
So I've been in a lot of masterminds, but I've been in the same core group for probably maybe longer than that, probably 6 or 7 years. But I will say, I think you guys do a better job. We don't meet as much as you do. I think you guys have a weekly or monthly call.
We just do monthly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't you guys just on like a Vox or something like every day?
Yeah. Okay. Which is that's not what I would recommend in regards to a mastermind. I think you need to have some structure. So I thought maybe we could first talk about like structuring a mastermind, because a lot of people ask that question of us at Seller Summit, because we do masterminds there. People want to continue them later on, but most people don't understand how to structure a mastermind. So how are the ones that you're in structured?
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about Seller Summit first. So first of all, if you guys don't know what that is, Seller Summit is the conference that both Tony and I run for e-commerce sellers. And as part of that event, we have speakers, just like a regular conference. But prior to that, we run a mastermind for seven-figure sellers, where we just basically lock ourselves in a room and we literally spend the entire day together. We cater in food. And that mastermind is designed for everyone to get help from the rest of the members. So the way that one is structured is usually we just go around and give introductions. And usually if you're in a steady mastermind, you obviously don't need to do this step. But obviously if it's new people, you have to introduce yourselves. And then we go around and talk about one thing that's working really well with our business. And then after that, everyone gets a turn in the hot seat. Basically, a hot seat is where you get to ask a question or a problem that you're having with your business, and then everyone else around you can give suggestions or help you out.
So with Seller Summit, obviously we hold that once a year. So the masterminds are a little bit different because some people in those groups carry them throughout the year. So they get together with people that they met at Seller Summit. Other times they don't. They just look forward to coming once a year. But I know for us, with the masterminds we do on our own time, we meet pretty regularly. Obviously you skip the introductions, but do you still have the format of the hot seat plus the problem, or do you guys structure it differently?
You know, we started out that way, but as you become really close to these people, it usually ends up being a free for all. How are yours?
So ours is pretty similar to that as well. We do try to share a win when we meet. I think that's actually pretty important, because a lot of times, and you and I will do this too, where we're having a conversation about something and then one of us will say, oh, I've tried this, or I've been working on this and it's working amazing. Mm-hmm. And we don't think about sharing it because it's just something that we've integrated into our daily routine for work. And so I think being able, like reminding people like, hey, share something new that you're working on that's working, mm-hmm. has been helpful, because a lot of times people don't think about it because they've just kind of created something that they do on a normal basis.
Yeah, no, that's totally important, because those are the main gains that I've actually gotten out of the mastermind. Ironically, I rarely get anything out of when I'm in the hot seat. I get more out of learning about what's working for other people.
We need to take a deep dive here of why you don't get anything out of the hot seat.
The main reason is because I have to struggle to find like major problems to talk about.
Must be hard. Must be hard to have a perfect life.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not like a perfect life. But the topics I bring up are usually more fuzzy, mm-hmm. rather than like, how does this work or how should I do this? Because I'm really good at copying people, actually. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see something that works, and then I can just figure out myself how to do something. And in a lot of cases, I enjoy figuring it out as opposed to just someone telling me how to do something.
Right. Do you find that you have trouble taking advice from people in a mastermind, or is it more just about you love listening to what other people are doing?
No, I mean, I got a lot of stories here. Okay. So that e-commerce mastermind that I was in, it was the first meeting. We were all in Montana, I believe. We were on a ski trip. So we'd done a full day of skiing and we came back and decided to mastermind. And at the time, I knew my website needed some work and I was going to do a redesign. And I said, okay, hey guys, do you think I need a redesign of my e-commerce store? I mean, it's still converting really well. I think the average conversion rate was like 2%. And I was converting at, you know, around 3.5-4%, which is like way above average. So I was like, hey, does it need to be redesigned? And oh my goodness, like I wanted to crawl into a hole. Everyone it was really bad in retrospect, yeah, just looking at it. But everyone took turns at first being very nice. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, the site isn't not bad. And I was like, okay, wait, hey, you know, the way this mastermind works is just let it all out. Be brutally honest. And they were. And I wanted to crawl in a hole, but I think there's 10 members. So I had to listen to 10 people bash my site, like back to back.
But I remember this because I remember when you came back from this mastermind, you made significant changes to your website after that.
Oh, I did a complete redesign at the mastermind.
Okay.
I literally contacted a developer and I just made a mock-up in Photoshop. And then I literally got started with it right then and there because I was so... And I didn't say a word. Like, I didn't... You know how your tendency is to get defensive when mm-hmm. someone's criticizing you? I've kind of trained myself in my head to try not to do that. And so I just sat there and took it, and which is kind of painful for me, right? Because you want to justify some of your design decisions and that sort of thing. But yeah, it helped because it kicked me in the butt. I had been putting that redesign off, man, I want to say for like almost 2 years, I'd been putting it off because it was converting so well. And then a good thing I did, because after I did the redesign, I think desktop conversions went up like almost 60%. I don't remember the exact numbers. Mobile conversions went up like 39%. And it was really good for my business.
So let's talk about the fact that you said you guys were all together in Montana. So you met in person.
And we did, yes.
Yeah, which I know a lot of people wonder about that as well. Should you be meeting in person? Do you do Zoom or, you know, Google Hangouts, some sort of virtual? I like a combination of both. So for me, I like to be able to have like those monthly check-ins or weekly, however that works, right? So having a way to check in monthly, because the reality is, especially right now, no one's going to travel every month somewhere. And that's probably not realistic if you own your own business to be able to just take a weekend off every month to go travel. But I like basically having like the monthly check-in. And then I do think it's important to meet in person. And so I like sort of the yearly or twice a year meetup where then you guys can all sit in a room together and... Because I think you get a lot more done when you're together and you get to know people better when you're together with them in person.
Yeah, to be clear, we usually meet once a month, but that trip was like an anomaly.
Yeah.
Like Andrew put it together and it was actually more members than our actual mastermind. So my mastermind's like 5 people normally. And I think that's a good size if you want to meet on a regular basis.
Yeah.
A lot more happens in person. Obviously, you get a lot closer to these people and you end up talking a lot more because sometimes there's alcohol involved and you're a lot of people are more revealing about what's mm-hmm. going on actually in their business when you're in person as opposed to a Zoom call.
Yeah. So I think if someone's looking to start a mastermind or be in a mastermind, you can absolutely start it totally online, right? You don't have to, you can do it via phone calls or hangouts, things like that. But I think the in-person component at some point is pretty important to get in a room with these people and meet them and learn more about them as a person, just not just their business.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's explicitly necessary to meet up in person, but I know that when I've joined a mastermind with people that I don't know that well, it always takes a couple of meetings first for everyone to gauge how much you're willing to reveal. So in general, the closer you are to these people, the better the mastermind's going to be.
I've also heard from people that say they want to be in a mastermind, but it's really hard to just coordinate, right? Everybody getting on the same schedule or people showing up. How do you feel about, I've seen some masterminds that have pretty strict rules. So if you miss 2 meetings, you're out. I've seen masterminds where people have to put money in the pot, right? I think, and I think those are all like accountability based. I don't know how I feel about some of that, but I've always been in charge. So I'm not worried about me not showing up, but I know for other people, not everybody wants to be in charge. It's a pain.
Yeah, I've never been in a mastermind like that, but I know for you, at least, like if you had to put in a buck every time you didn't show up, you'd be there like early.
I'd be there every time. Don't take my money.
I don't think that that's necessary. I've never really had a problem with attendance. I mean, we're all busy, right?
Yeah.
And so I can understand that if you don't show up for like multiple meetings,
yeah,
maybe it's just not your thing. But then you just, we had a person like that once in one of our meetings. He was just showing up, you know, once every 3 months or so. And we basically just said, hey, do you still want to be in this group? You know, do you want to have time? Just a simple question like that. And then he eventually dropped out.
Yeah. I think that's important, though, for the group dynamics, that people are committed to showing up. And obviously, there's going to be things that come up where you have to miss something. But I think on a regular basis, if someone's not committed, then it hurts the mastermind, because then they don't have the same level of connection with the other people in the group if they're not consistent.
Yeah. So again, you don't have to be like being in person, I think, and not knowing the people that you're in the mastermind with as well is oftentimes better than a Zoom call.
Let's talk about what I think I kind of believe everyone should be in a mastermind, no matter where you are in your business, even if you're just starting out. Because I think some people too, because I know a lot of masterminds that are public, right, that we see advertised by people, like Ezra has a mastermind.
Yep.
I think the digital marketer people have a mastermind. Those are very expensive, high ticket masterminds. So the only way you can get in it is if you already have some level of success, which is fine. I think those are very valuable too. But I think even if you're just starting out, I remember when I first got into e-commerce, when I was taking your course, and you call them focus groups, I think, in your course, right?
I'm
not sure what, but they're basically mini masterminds.
They are, yes.
And yeah. I found, I think it was four other sellers that were just getting started as well. And we met, oh my goodness, I think we met every other week. It was pretty frequent for probably 6 months to 9 months. And I thought that was so helpful, because we were all experiencing similar problems, but we all had different solutions. So I think even if you're just getting started in building an online business or trying to start a podcast, having that mastermind is really helpful to keep you going, because especially in the beginning, it's really tough. And if you are surrounding yourself with other people that can be your cheerleaders and also bring you good critical feedback, you're going to, I don't know, maybe have a higher rate of success. I'm sure there's probably a study on that.
I think it just depends if it helps you to have someone hold you accountable for stuff.
Yeah.
Like I know a lot of the members in my class, they have problems kind of getting motivated and taking action. But if you have someone there going, oh, hey, you told me that you were going to work on this last week. You know, did you do it? Right.
Yeah.
Just knowing that someone's going to ask you that question will actually inspire you to actually get some work done.
Yeah. So I think that's a big component of masterminds, is having people hold you accountable to do what you say you're going to do, whether you're getting started or whether you're advanced in your business life. I think it's important to have people that will kind of keep your feet to the fire. The other thing that I love about masterminds is the connection with people. And this is, I think, really important if you work in the online space, because, I mean, you worked in, I don't know, would you call it a corporate job when you were an engineer?
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much have to be, I mean, any job is a corporate job, right? No,
I don't know. Not maybe if you like trash collector, I would call it a corporate job.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. But, yeah.
So, but you went to an office every day, you had people around you, you probably had a lot of meetings. So you were always interacting with your coworkers. I know you guys play Frisbee or Ultimate Frisbee. There's like a connection there with people that you worked with. And when you're building an online business, you're very alone. Probably all your local friends or the people you normally hang out with have no idea what you're doing. They don't understand. I know you said people had no clue what you were doing when you started.
Yeah.
You know, my wife quit her job. And I think having people that sort of get what you're talking about is really important when you're getting started, because it can be lonely. And then once you're farther along, it's helpful, because it's just kind of fun to be around people that when you make weird references, they understand it, as opposed to your friends that look at you like you have three heads. I don't know. That's for me, at least.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if all of your friends work, like all my friends work, and they're in professional services as well. And you're here running a business and you have no outlet for anything that's going on. It's almost like now when I quit my tech job, I almost have no one to talk about tech stuff with anymore. Really?
Yeah, you don't.
I mean, I mean, you're just not the right person for that, Tony. I apologize.
I'm not the person for that. That's okay.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, I miss the daily interaction, but the masterminds are a good way of mitigating that.
Yeah. So I think the connection is pretty important, because it can feel lonely when you're building a business by yourself. Or even if you have a small team, I think to have people that are also business owners it's very helpful because they're experiencing probably similar issues that you are when you're growing your business.
I mean, the mentality is completely different. I remember when we first launched our e-commerce store, no one knew anything about e-commerce or whatever. And so my friends would come up to me and say, oh, how's your little handkerchief shop doing? You know, do you need business? I mean, I can get my friends to buy some. I was like, no, that's not the way it works. You know, I want to figure out this out on my own. You know?
Yeah.
People just don't understand unless they're doing it.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is really great, and I don't know, this might be jumping a little bit far ahead, but I think the networking aspect of the mastermind, and this is where, this is almost, it's not how I met you, but so I could say this is a negative, I guess, too, as well, since that's how I met. But the fact that when you're in a,
was that an insult? I couldn't tell. Was that what you're,
okay. Not a very thinly veiled insult. I think when you, okay, so you and I talk, we talk all the time, but a lot of times if I have a problem, you know someone who could probably help me, or you could introduce me to somebody, or I could introduce you to somebody that can help your business. And I think having that group of people where, I think both of us have had people recommended to us that have been terrible, mm-hmm. right? Because we maybe didn't have that same connection with the person that was making the recommendation. But I know for me, if someone in my mastermind group, if like Deacon's in my mastermind, right? So if Deacon tells me you should work with this person to do XYZ, that would hold so much more weight than if an acquaintance told me that, right? Because I don't truly know much about the other person. So who are they recommending to me? I don't know. They might be terrible. But I think when you're in a mastermind and you really trust the people in your group, when they make a recommendation to you, it's really valuable. So the networking aspect where you get to meet other people because of the people in your group, to me, I've met so many great people because the connection from the mastermind.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Right. I don't necessarily. Yeah, it's true. Like if you're in a mastermind group where you trust everybody, then that just opens up your Rolodex, so to speak, right? Yeah. Every member of the mastermind that I've been in, I feel comfortable enough just asking them for any recommendation or anything at all. It's like making a whole bunch of new close friends.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think too, we did this a couple years ago in our mastermind where we lost a couple people. And so we
How'd you lose them?
Just because we lost them.
Okay. Did you drive them away again? Is that what happened?
Yeah, we did. We drove them away.
Right.
We lost a couple people. And so what we did was we asked the people in the mastermind, who do you want to bring in, right? Like, who do you recommend? Because it's not always about us trying to find people. And the people that got brought in were actually phenomenal to the group and a great addition. So I think that that networking component of that 6 degrees is really helpful. Because how would, I'm trying to think of somebody that I met that you know through mastermind, which is probably nobody since we all know, we know the same people. But there's been several people that I've met that I think have been really cool and valuable to my own business. And I would have never met them had someone else not brought them in to the group.
I mean, let's talk about some of the impacts. I know just for the Seller Summit Mastermind, we always have a speaker mastermind at the end. And I feel like a lot of lives have changed as a result of that mastermind. There's one particular person that I'm thinking of who won't be named. They decided to just shut down their existing business to pursue a completely different avenue as a result of that mastermind. Actually, two people that I can think of.
I don't know if that's a positive.
Well, no, it is. It is
a positive for them,
because they were conflicted for the longest time. Like when you're making money with a business, it's very hard to pivot sometimes because it's what's bringing in the money. And so oftentimes the trap that you fall in is, okay, it's making money. I may as well do it even though I don't like it.
Yeah.
If you don't have someone that you can talk to or who understands the exact situation that you are in, then, you know, it can be hard to make that decision. And so just having a whole bunch of entrepreneurs in that room allowed these two people to make fundamental shifts. I know for myself, and this is a long time ago, and I'll credit Lars for this, but I was very hesitant to start selling on Amazon. I was already making a lot of money with my existing store, and I didn't want to give away control to somebody else, you know, Amazon. But you know what Lars did? What he did, he started hounding me every single week. And he would send me these snide texts, or he'd tell me like, oh, hey, this is how much I made on Amazon the other week. And I didn't have to do a thing. Or he'd be like, hey, did you get started on Amazon? And so finally I created an account and I listed a product. And if you guys have ever sold on Amazon before, it can be a problem with Amazon going back and forth. But our first product actually I couldn't get the listing then. We had problems with the listing. And there were delays and delays. And then every other day, Lars would go, hey, did you get that listing cleared up? I'm like, no, for some reason, we're stuck. You know, it's not working. And so he just kept at it. And then finally, 1 week he said, and in reality, I was kind of dragging my feet. Mm-hmm. 1 week he just said, you know, you're a Stanford graduate and you can't figure out how to put up an Amazon listing that thousands of other people are selling on. Is that what you're telling
people
me?
People who went to community college have figured out that you haven't done
I mean,
it?
He phrased it like that. He's like, are you telling me that you can't figure it out? And at that point, the listing was up by the next day.
Yeah. I was going to say, and how long did that take you after that? Yeah.
Anyway, this is what it takes. I'm kind of stubborn. And so this having a mastermind, if you were stubborn, can really help because it'll open you up to different things that you might have never thought of doing. Do you have any stories like that?
I'm not as stubborn as you.
I beg to differ.
Okay. I'm probably as stubborn as you, but not necessarily in my business. So but that's my question is that, I mean, you've given two stories where one, you didn't want to be on Amazon and then you chose to be on Amazon. And then the second one was your site redesign. And I think I don't take criticism very well, as you know, it's very hard for me. And so how do people like me who are in a mastermind, because it's not hard for me to take criticism from my friends. It's easier. It's still hard for me. But when my friends say something, like if my friend said, hey, you needed to fix that, or if you said to me, like the other day when my site was messed up, you're like, your site is so slow. This is terrible. What did you do?
Okay, first of all, that's not the tone I used.
No, you were
I
much
said,
meaner.
Tony, your site seems a little bit slower than normal. I think we should investigate. I mean, I think you should investigate. Somehow I ended up investigating it, but yeah.
I think it was, what did you touch in all caps with a lot of exclamation points. But if you're just getting started in a mastermind, if you are new to this whole process, what are some tips for being able to handle criticism without being personally offended? Because I think that is hard for it, especially like, okay, you built your website. You actually built it from zero. I mean, it wasn't like you used a Shopify theme or anything like that. So to me, I think that would be really hard to hear that like something you had poured like probably hundreds of hours in sucked or wasn't great or looked dumb or whatever. I'm sure they were kinder than that, but maybe not. I know people
actually they weren't.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me, before you continue on with this question, the worst comment or the one that hurt me the most was, hey, Steve, I know you teach a class, but if I saw your website, I wouldn't sign up.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. Ouch.
Ouch.
That's like pierced through the heart right there.
And I was thinking, but what about the conversion rate? No. <It's>, yeah. But that one hurt.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And what's strange is I heard you say that you can take criticism better from your friends, but not random people.
Yeah.
I feel like it's harder to take criticism from your friends because it's those people that you respect as opposed to random people.
Yeah. I mean, clearly that's more therapy for me on that one. But I think here's why I think I can take it from my friends, because I feel like if you were critical of me and you have been in the past,
Go on.
I mean, you have my best interest in mind, right? So if you're telling me something, it's probably because you want to help me or you want me to make an improvement or you see that something is better for my business on the other side. You're not just critical to be critical because we're friends. And I think in a mastermind, especially if you're just getting started, and like for our Seller Summit mastermind, sometimes these people don't know each other when they get into the room.
Yep.
Right? Or they don't know each other. We do a little bit of like pre-conference stuff, but not much. So how can you sit there? Like, what is a tip for being able to handle people saying things about your business? Because I've been in some Seller Summit masterminds where the feedback is tough for people. And I think it's accurate. And I think they're getting great advice, especially if someone like Dana or Lars or Mike Jackness, right, is in there. Like to me, if Mike Jackness is giving you feedback, that's pretty valuable, right? He's got a load of experience, huge seller. So, but how do you kind of take that personal hurt out of it?
I don't think it can be helped for some people, right? You just have to just take it though. And I think the worst thing that you can do is get really defensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's always my opinion.
I've seen that at Seller Summit. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, definitely.
Groups. Yeah.
Definitely. And in fact, I mean, this is the other end of the equation. Whenever I criticize someone, I try to do it in a criticism sandwich. So I say, hey, Tony, you're looking really young today. Your website sucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're such a great people person. What, you know, basically sandwich the criticism. And that seems to soften the blow.
Yeah.
How do you deal with it? I don't know.
Well, I think the worst thing that you can do is invest your time in a mastermind and then get defensive on feedback. Because you're spending, I mean, like with sellers on masterminds, people have to pay to be there, right? But even if you're not paying for a mastermind, even if you're just committing time and effort, the reason why you're doing that is because you want the feedback. You want people to challenge you and to get, and I admit, like, most people's first tendency is to be defensive. Mm-hmm. So whether you just like don't say anything, you just listen, take notes, worry about it later. I think that's really important when you're in that type of group to understand why you're there and that the people are truly there to help you. And it doesn't come across that way all the time. Okay. So for example, Kim Sorgis is in our mastermind. She sells like Bible studies, homeschool material. And we had a mastermind meeting right before COVID. So like February, and she was struggling. I don't remember exactly what it was in her business. And no one was rude or anything like that. But like, we really pushed her on a couple of things in her business of thinking, like changing her mindset. And of course, now I think she 10x'd her business from this year to last year, just by doing some of the things that we had talked about and other things as well. But when I see stories of people who got hard feedback and then made changes based on that feedback, I mean, you saw your website improve drastically after you took that feedback. So I think it's important if you're in a mastermind that you be willing to know that I signed up for this. So I'm going to take the criticism, maybe not do everything that they suggest, but really make it a learning experience for yourself.
So I have a couple things to add to that. You have to go in with an open mind and believe that you are not the best at what you do. I mean, that's just a fact. You're not the best at what you do. And chances are, and this is why having a mastermind is important, where everyone else is around the same level. Mm-hmm. I think if you have one person that is so much better than the rest, that person's going to get bored. And likewise, if you're on the other end of the spectrum, you're going to be clueless and you don't feel like you can contribute. So it's very important to find members who are on the same level as you. And that way you can go in and think to yourself, okay, I'm probably not doing everything correctly. I'm probably not doing things the best way. And just by telling yourself that, that will probably make you less defensive and more open-minded. That's the attitude that I try to take with everything, actually. You'll never hear me call myself an expert, and maybe it's because I've been like smashed so many times. I remember I thought like I was awesome coming out of high school, and then I got to Stanford and I just realized that everyone was smarter than me at that school. So I felt
so
like a scrub.
So started at a young age.
Yep. So I guess that's what my life was like. So that's why I can do it so well.
So the other question that we get asked all the time is, how do you find a mastermind to join? Which I actually think is a pretty tough question.
Yeah, I think it really helps to go to an event. I mean, that's the only way that I've done it. How have you found your masterminds?
Well, my very first one was I met people on Twitter, right? But that was...
How do you do that?
How do you meet people on Twitter?
Seriously.
I mean, this was back in 2009, 2010. So Twitter was a little bit different, I think, too, back then. So I think it's possible to... I think being in an event is the absolute best place, for sure, hands down. I know not everybody can be at an event. So I think there's that hurdle, right? So I think event would be my number one recommendation. Because the nice thing about being in an event and then meeting people is that you've met the people first. So you get a little bit more of an idea of their personalities and if they would be a good fit. Because I think there's also times in a mastermind where people don't gel. And that's okay too, to leave a mastermind. If you just don't, you have to have some level of connection with these people. It can't just all be, let's all sit in a room, talk about our wins, criticize each other and walk away. There has to be some sort of friendship component, in my opinion, for it to be successful. So I think that being at an event and meeting people first and seeing what they're like is very helpful. I think the other way you can do it is to meet people on social media, right? So maybe you follow people or you end up striking up conversations. Maybe you're in a lot of like tools and services have Facebook groups. So there's, you know, like AdThrive is my ad network. There's an AdThrive Facebook group where people can ask questions, get help. Well, that would be a good place to find people for me if I wanted to start a mastermind, because I know that they're all content creators. They're all at a certain level of success because they have Ad Thrive, right? So they're not new content creators. They've been doing it for a while. So I think that's probably a good place is, you know, Facebook groups, things like that. And then I think if you're in a course, I don't know how I know our courses, we do have focus groups / masterminds. I don't know if other courses do it that way, but I think that's a really good place to meet people because then you guys are all learning the same thing as well.
To be honest with you, I have no experience with Twitter or social media to find a group. Like for me, I had to actually talk to the person.
Yeah.
At least once beforehand, just to even see if the personality matches. In a way, also, it's also nice to have some polarizing personalities in your group too. Because if everyone's like agreeable, for example, then none of the juicy stuff ever comes out also.
That's the only reason why you're in a mastermind.
What? Yeah, right. Wait, are you implying that I'm the... No, okay.
No, you're definitely not a polarizer. I've been in masterminds with you. You are not the polarizer.
I'm a nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not even very critical, I don't think, in masterminds. And I've seen you.
I can be, but it usually leads to trouble. Like, I can be blunt, as you know. Yeah. I'm blunt to you sometimes because I know you can take it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can get a read of the room, and if you're just overly blunt, then that person might, you might push that person over the edge, so to speak.
So I think, speaking of pushing people over the edge, I think another component of masterminds that I wasn't prepared for, especially with the Seller Summit masterminds and the speaker masterminds, because in those groups, everyone doesn't know each other as well. There's some level of connection, but it's not like a group that we've been in for 5 years. There's an emotional component.
Yes.
That you and I might not be as comfortable with as some people. I don't know how to say that nicely, other than you and I are like mini robots in a group. I don't know. But that took me by surprise, which I don't know if other... Maybe it's
Well, it's because you
common.
Have no emotions.
Well, I mean...
But maybe that's why I'm a little squeamish, because one time I had like a one-on-one with a student and I made her cry, and I wasn't trying to. I was just trying to provide criticism. And then it was supposed to be a 45-minute call, but I made her cry in the first 15 minutes, and the remaining half hour was just me...
You trying to dry her tears with the hanky that you sold
her? Yeah, so... Emotions do come out. It's a very emotional thing. It can be, right?
Yeah. And that was, I was not prepared for that. And I think this is where I think it's important. And I just listened to the podcast that Shailene Johnson did on how to validate people's emotions or feelings. Mm-hmm. And that's not, I'm not good at that at all. I'm a suck it up person.
No.
Shocking. A reveal. Here's a reveal. I'm not good with feelings. But I think it's really important when you go into a mastermind to understand that that is probably going to happen for some people in the group. Because if you think about it, too, these are people's livelihoods. These are people's life plan, right? This is their business. It's how they support their family. This is their retirement. And when you have a hurdle in your business that seems insurmountable, and either you have a breakthrough or you're just so frustrated, like we had in one of the speaker masterminds where someone was just so frustrated with what was going on in their business, mm-hmm. that's emotional. Yep. And I think for me, I'm very uncomfortable when people are emotional. And I think you need to learn how to sit in that, because it'll make you a better contributor to the mastermind if you can help validate people's feelings in that way, as opposed to like me cringing for probably the first 3 years. Not cringing because they were upset, just like I didn't know how to, it was me. I didn't know how to behave.
Yeah, I'm not good at it either. So I can't even really comment here. All I can say is...
Can we bring on a nice person? Who do we know that's kind we can bring on?
All I can say is if you do get defensive and it's on the other side of the equation, or you do start crying, the rest of the feedback you're going to get is probably going to be softened and not as blunt.
I mean,
that's just the way I think, right? And so...
That's when you just go deep. You like dig in. You're like, oh, now I got you. I got you on the ropes.
Right, because my tendency when the person started crying is to just be nicer, right?
Yeah.
And that's not what I want out of the mastermind. Like I want people to be blunt so I can get the true feelings and actually make change.
I'm going to be honest. I think that's terrible advice.
You think that's terrible advice?
Well, I think you're saying, well, if you get emotional, then people aren't going to be honest with you anymore. But like their emotions are they're being honest, right? That's how they feel.
No, I'm not talking about from the recipient. I'm just saying that if you get really emotional, that will tend to encourage other people around you to phrase things differently in a softer manner.
Right. So what you're saying is if you cry, then people aren't going to give you the real feedback that you need.
I tend to believe that. I know you probably don't think so. And I'm not trying to give advice here, but that's just the way I would be.
So you don't feel as comfortable being as hard on somebody or being as honest with somebody if you feel like they're already at their limit.
If they're going to lose it and they're at their limit, I'm definitely going to start holding back. You're not the same way?
Yes, but then what I feel like this does then is say to people, don't get emotional, don't get upset, because you won't get the most value out of the mastermind.
I mean, in a way, that's what I'm saying.
Right. That's what I think is terrible.
Well, it's the same thing about not getting defensive. Not getting emotional kind of falls under that same bucket. Try. I mean, I'm not saying you can do it. It can be a very emotional thing, but if you can, try to control it. That's all I'm saying.
Spoken like a true Chew. That's all I want
to
say.
Well, you're the same. Okay, I'm gonna listen to you talk. So how would you control it? Or what would you advise?
I mean, I don't know, because I told you I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time because I don't know how to respond. Because I don't want to, like, to me, I don't want to double down on what I'm saying. Because,
right, so you're holding back.
So you're holding back. But I also feel like, to me, masterminds are a big commitment, because you're committing your time, you're traveling, you paid money, whatever it is. It's a commitment. So for me, I don't want people to walk out of there and not feel like it was life-changing. Like, I want masterminds to be life-changing for people, probably because we run them. And so I also don't want, if you get emotional, which I think is perfectly acceptable and I understand it, I don't want then everyone to hold back because they're worried about you. I also think there's a balance of, obviously you can't just pile on. So I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like.
From what you just said, you're agreeing with me.
I mean, not
right?
In theory.
In much softer words, you're agreeing with me. And you know, it's fine. I mean, it's a very emotional thing. Like, believe me, when I was getting my website torn apart, I wanted to get emotional.
Where was it? Why did I miss this?
Why did you miss this?
My one chance?
Well, you would have seen my face turn red and me want to hide in the corner.
Yeah.
But I was just silent the entire time, really. And I was like, okay, I will do that. I will do that. And I want you guys to contact me in 3 months and make sure I did that. I think that's what I said once. And then I just stopped talking after that.
You just sat in the corner in the fetal position and took the rest of it.
It's just reality, I think.
I agree. I think it's really hard to take the criticism. I think it's hard not to be emotional when... It's hard to, and it's not even about the criticism. It can be emotional just to talk about things in your business, especially if you're either experiencing. So one of the things that I found in my masterminds is that a lot of people that are entrepreneurs that I know did not come from a lot, right? They grew up with not a lot of money. You know, they watched their parents work 2-3 jobs. They had a lot of struggle, which I think is why people become successful entrepreneurs, a lot of them, because they saw the struggle and they have a really strong will and they're really hardworking and they're able to overcome. But a lot of times what I see in these groups is these people who now have built these really successful businesses. And that's emotional in itself, to realize that you have like set a different path for your family, and to look back on the struggle and maybe the struggle that your parents had, or maybe you weren't even raised by your parents, anything like that part can be emotional. It can even be like positive emotions as opposed to just taking the criticism. So I think there's just a lot of that. But I think what I love about the masterminds is that's a really safe place to have those emotions. So I was in a mastermind, the same one that I was in February, and one of the people were talking, and they grew up dirt poor. And they're very successful now. And they were just like overcome with emotion, and that they wanted to do the right thing for their family, but they didn't even know what that was because they had no background in having any security, right? So the fact that they even had security was overwhelming to them. Mm-hmm. And I think, but that's not a conversation you can have with your next door neighbor, right? That's not a conversation you can have with somebody that doesn't understand what you came from, the struggle that you've had, and then where you are today. And so that's what I think masterminds do really well, is that if you are struggling, if you have that moment, that's a place to have it in a room full of people that really care about you and just want what's best for you.
See, I think we've been focusing on criticism too much. I mean, there's another side of the mastermind where I'm just trying to think, like a very successful friend of mine came up and said, hey, you know, I did this. It's not really a big deal. Right. She was like downplaying her mm-hmm. accomplishments. And we were all like, oh my God, no, what are you talking about? What you just did is something that only like a fraction of a percent of people will ever accomplish in their entire lives. So a mastermind is also like your cheerleader.
Yeah.
As well. So there's two sides. Yeah.
A lot of the business successes, I don't know, you and I call it funny money sometimes, right? Where you make money off of ways that seem crazy, like affiliate marketing, right? Just money appears in your bank account. And you can't talk about that with just anybody. You can't talk about, oh, what did you make on that affiliate offer? Or what did you make on this sale? Or what did you make? Like, okay, you have a webinar. What did you make on your launch? You can't just have that conversation at a dinner party with friends, right? Who are all doctors or electricians or whoever, because that seems, if you said, well, I had a webinar and I made $30,000 from the webinar, the people that don't live in that world are thinking you worked for an hour and made $30,000, right? They don't understand that you didn't really work for an hour. You worked for 5 years to grow your email list and,
yeah, right.
You know, all the knowledge that came before that. But in a mastermind group, it's a really safe space for you to say, I had a webinar and I made 30 grand and everyone's cheering you on and thinking that's amazing, high five, whatever. And you can do that without, it doesn't sound like a humble brag or anything. It's just you being excited about your business.
Exactly. With a mastermind, there's much less taboo subjects. Like speaking of webinars, right? The reason why I started doing webinars is because Graham Baldwin literally gave me a spreadsheet with every single dime that he had earned with webinars. Every webinar, his conversion rate, his show up rate, everything. He just freely emailed me that spreadsheet. And I looked at it and I was like, okay, I'm doing this. But you would never talk to even a family member about that.
Right.
No one's going to ask you, oh, how much money did you make? What was your conversion rate? What was your show up rate? You know?
How many people stay till the end?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, and the other thing too, it's important to remember about a mastermind is that what happens in the mastermind stays in the mastermind.
Yes.
We've shared a couple stories about masterminds we've been in but the stories we've told, we've had either permission to tell or we've kept people anonymous. And I think that's really important too, is to realize that when you're in that group, Grant Baldwin showed you that. That's not something that you're now going to publish on the web or talk about his numbers with other people. And I think that's another reason why masterminds are great, because you have that ability to have these conversations. And you know, if you did really well on something and you shared in that group, they're not going to walk around and say, well, Steve did X, Y, Z. Conversely, if you have a flop, you can talk about it in the group as well and feel like it's a place to say like, hey, I'm really disappointed in the latest launch or whatever it is. And it's a place to do that safely and know that it's not just going to be, you know, all over the place.
So I think we've talked about masterminds for a long time now. What would you say is the best way to join one right now?
In COVID 2020?
Or just in general, like let's say you want to find one now. What actions should you take to join a mastermind or find mastermind members?
I would contact people already in your circle and see if they want to do something more formal. I think a lot of people are in pseudo masterminds, right? They chat with the same people. But I think there is some value in having a little bit of structure, I don't necessarily think you have to have a hot seat every month or something like that, but where you do share wins and you share struggles, I think that's important. And I think the first way to do that is just contact people that you already have a relationship with. I don't think you're going to be able to do it if you cold call people.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, mainly because you don't know them either, right?
Well,
if you're cold calling them, that implies...
Well, I guess cold calling is the wrong word. I wouldn't just go into a face group that you're in and say like, hey, who wants to be my mastermind? Right? Because you want to find people that are similar to you in your business, where you're at in your business. And
actually,
like
there's
that.
Students in my class that have successfully done that.
Really?
They would come out and say, hey, I'm an expert in Photoshop and Facebook ads. Who wants to be in my mastermind group? So if you're going to do that method, make sure you talk about what you're good at and your credentials and what value you can bring. And
so set some parameters for people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then I would do a little bit of vetting for the math. I wouldn't just say, hey, everyone sign up on this Google Doc and join. I think I would ask a couple questions of people if I wanted to get into a mastermind with them, so that you don't end up with just two people that are too.
Just start criticizing them and see if they get defensive. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the first thing. Then you make them cry. See how long that lasts. But I think you need to know, like, you can't, I mean, it doesn't make sense for you to be in a mastermind with someone who is on Alibaba researching products, right?
Right. You have to make sure they're on the same level.
Yeah. So there needs to be a vetting process. And then after that, I think it's just like, get started, start meeting, set up and I recommend, I know you probably aren't a fan of this. I recommend like you meet on Tuesdays at 2 o'clock once a month, the first Tuesday of the month. I think that's important. And then people just clear their calendar and they make it a priority to be there versus, because what I hear from people that can't seem to get a mastermind successfully going is that it's just too loosey-goosey. They don't have any structure. And so people aren't showing up or they can't make a meeting or whatever. And if you say, hey, this mastermind is going to meet on this day at this time once a month, then someone who can't make that time isn't going to commit to begin with.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Why didn't you think I was going to agree with that?
Because you're kind of loosey-goosey when it comes to that stuff.
Oh, no. If you don't plan an exact date, it'll never happen.
Yeah. So I think that's important. And I think you need to have one person that's kind of in charge of it. And
someone type A, for example?
Yeah. Me? I think I need to be in charge of it? No.
Yeah.
But I know I think that there needs to be somebody who sends out the reminder email, kind of navigates it when you're actually having it, making sure that people participate. I think that is helpful to have one type A person that can do that, because sometimes I've seen masterminds kind of derail in the middle because there's always someone with a strong personality and that can monopolize it. So you need to kind of make sure that everyone stays in check.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.